This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Okay, y'all can continue laughing now.
Okay. We had to behave for like 5 seconds. It sucked.
No, that was That was hard.
We were laughing at Dickless Steve on the now stream thing. It's good to have you all here. We are joined by two of my favorite people, two of my favorite content creators. Finally, we have Logic and probably one of the most requested guests that we get at least once a week, once or twice a week. There were people emailing me saying, get Logic on the show. So, yes, finally.
And you brought me on for arrived.
This. Yes, this was perfect for you.
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to take that.
I keep wanting to see his picture up there doing this. It's not the same if he's not, you know.
Like moving. Yeah.
And weave it.
You could have animated Master. It if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Well, see, where were you when we were making all these decisions?
He's not allowed to make commentary anymore.
Hell, we all know that.
That's true. Yes, he is in hell. I forgot about that. Actually, I think he's back home.
In the closet. I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm just confused by my own storyline.
That's healthy.
and then Shannon, of course, is back. Hello, Shannon.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Casey. Hi,
How
Logic.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
I have a suggestion for Logic to how he can keep his life straight. Get calendars. I learned in the past couple of weeks that if you keep calendars for 30 years, you can prove you weren't places. Did you know that?
What does that even mean?
Kyle doesn't watch the fucking news. Kyle.
I don't know what you're talking about, so I'm just going to nod along.
Shannon?
Yeah, we're way too Canadian.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Panda.
Yeah, it's a cabinet.
Be my guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. Okay, thank you. Brett Kavanaugh, exactly who is up for the Supreme Court. Yes, he's up for the Supreme Court, okay. And he presented calendars from 1982 to prove he wasn't at a party that someone said he was. Anyway, sorry. No, it's not funny. You have to explain it. Let's just somebody else talk now.
Well, you bring on two Canadians. What do you expect?
Fucking Canadians. All we can talk with you guys about is syrup, and then you get mad at me because, like, I don't know what syrup is. So,
yeah. No, how do you not know the different brands of syrup?
Like, I thought you were just supposed to tap a tree. Like, isn't that the Canada way? You just go out in your yard and tap a tree.
No, that's the traditional way. But, of course, the Americans are going to have to, you know, do it the normie way, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, tap a tree. Down in the South, that means something totally different, by the way.
True story.
Oh, Okay, let's say hello to Panda. Panda, thank you for being here, especially on such short notice.
Hey, happy to be here.
And the way that we're going to break up tonight, we've got three different segments that we're going to do. We've got somebody that represents like the past, I guess you would say. Panda used to actually be an incel, so he's going to kind of tell us how it was, the movement was before, and why he is no longer an incel. And then for the second segment, we've got a guy who keeps up with what they do now. He is on Twitter, just Incel Thoughts, and he kind of, I don't want to say debunk, but he keeps things up. Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been through so many incel different places that I keep them straight, but yes.
Your brain is rotting. I got it. It's fine.
it's a dark world, but he will be kind of speaking to that. And then for the third segment, we've got somebody that is pretty much in the middle of things as far as incels go. So we'll see what he has to say in some of the lovely tweets that he has put out. So it'll be a fascinating night. Let's get started, I guess.
Yeah.
So Panda, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and why you would have referred to yourself as an incel a while back, and then why you got out.
All right. Well, Panda Mecca 9K on Twitter. I argue with flat earthers, or as my wife says, I teach science on Twitter part time. As for my history, I used to be an incel, which back then had a more broad definition than loser pickup artist who hates women. It was actually more of a left-leaning movement in its start. It was started in the mid-90s, mainly as like a sociology experiment, and it kind of took off because a lot of people related to it. And my history with it was, I was 25, hadn't been laid in 7 years, been in a relationship in 8 years, felt absolutely hopeless because at the time I was stuck in the church and that was my dating pool. And I went through that Rolodex pretty damn quick because it was a small church and I didn't really have much outside of that. So I was feeling kind of hopeless, kind of down about it. And one of my friends, who's actually a sociologist, one day just tells me, hey, you know, so I just realized you and I, we're like involuntarily celibate. And I kind of laughed it off thinking, wow, that's like a clever turn of phrase, you know, and, you know, didn't think that it was a serious thing. And he brought it up again about a week later and he goes, no, actually I'm on this message board and it's kind of like a support network and we, you know, keep each other boosted up, give each other advice, blah, blah, blah. So I had a couple things going against me. I have absolutely horrifying social anxiety. Hi, internet. So
you're doing well so far.
Thank you.
So I ended up checking it out and looked up the Wikipedia page for incel, which at that time was far less colorful, and the very top link on the Wikipedia page in circa 2005 was actually the incel board that I joined, which was about the largest community on the internet at the time. So basically I went in there, I felt warm and fuzzy, and incel back then was literally involuntary celibacy. Pure and simple, nothing else. It was, for me, it was, you know, social anxiety was keeping me from it, you know, long dry spell, very shallow dating pool, and you know, I was just looking for advice on how to break out of the situation I was in. And that's what everybody was doing there. Some people were what we called medically celibate, where they would have a medical condition that prevented them from having sex. And it kind of ran the full gamut of reasons why people could not establish a romantic relationship.
What are the... what are the different terms that, I know there are some newer terms, but there are different groups, like different factions in the incel community, right? What are the ones that you're aware of?
That I'm aware of now, I haven't really been keeping track of it since around about 2010. So I'm not as familiar with the newer community other than my reputation and a few squeaky wheels that pop up every now and then. At least when I was part of the group and when I was on the board, there weren't.
Sorry to interrupt.
On the
message board? No, I know you. When you say like the message board.
Yeah. On the message board.
Was there just one, though? I guess that's my question. Was there like one primary one, or were there multiple ways to go about? There was a board, or there was many, and you were at the biggest one.
There were a few, two or three, and
okay,
ours had literally thousands of members. And the other ones had like maybe five. For all intents and purposes, we were the only board from like 2004 till 2007.
And may I ask you one other question when you're done?
I'm go sorry. For it.
I have so many questions.
No, I'm good.
I'm so sorry. Thank you, Pan. I have so many questions. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Such a normie.
When you stop it. Sorry, that's actually probably the best I've been called in a week. So when you initially joined the board, the message board, it was more so a way of finding sort of solidarity and support and a way to commiserate with people who had like experiences, right?
Exactly.
Did it, which is fantastic. That's something that I think all people should be able to seek out and hopefully be able to find. Did you find that it started to take a turn at some point in time, like where it got a little bit more nefarious, or did it stay that way while you were involved?
The thing is, the board that I was a part of stayed in its current supportive form all the way up until it expired in like 2011.
Oh, great.
What had happened, the way the schism started was, a few people kind of got onto the board and were not the cream of the crop type people. They were, you know, deep into the pickup artist culture because they thought that was the only way they were going to get laid. And, it was always a swing and a miss with them because, well, nobody falls for that bullshit. And
no.
And so what ended up happening was it was just a small group, like two or three people who got kind of into the pickup artist thing, and they started, garnering the support of other members of the board who were borderline douchebags and were now trying to like step off the pier and be full douchebags. And so their movement, whatever, kind of grew to like about 10 people, and the rest of the members of the board, the other like 900 and some odd of us, really didn't take a liking to that and pretty much unanimously voted kick them off the board and just permaban their IP address and call it a day. And we did that, and then they found Reddit, and Reddit is the dumpster fire of the internet.
Worse than Twitter. And
I thought this show, I thought this show and Twitter were the dumpster fires of the internet.
Watch
this
it, ladies.
Amazing.
They're just,
sorry, dumpster
they're
just fire.
Different colored dumpsters, that's all. So
I like
that's
you.
Good.
They found Reddit.
That's good.
They found Reddit and they started a subreddit for incels. But their subreddit was mainly aimed towards the pickup artist approach to solving their problem. And that ended up leading to that growing, and they had an offshoot message board outside of Reddit, and that kept growing and growing because people are idiots and they want to get their dicks wet. And it was a 100% male community, whereas the community on the original board was probably about 60% female to 40% male. And,
no way.
Give or take 5% for other. Yeah.
But they were women. That's
interesting. Yeah, and actually a lot of the women were medically celibate. You know, just one problem or another they had that either physically or via pain or via emotion kept them from building a sexual relationship. So there was, you know, a few different terms that we had, you know, incel, medcel, vol cel, voluntary celibacy. You know, people just decide, you know, well, I'm going to give up and I'm just going to be voluntarily celibate from now on and just, you know, live the 40-year-old virgin dream. And the thing is, most of the people on there were absolutely normal.
That's not my dream. Is that a dream for some people?
Some people.
Sorry.
Not me. But yeah, no, it was actually a really supportive, really good community. It was extremely liberal. It was actually kind of my foray into liberal thinking from my previous Christian world. So, you know, I actually owe that a lot. And I met my wife through the board, of all things. And my sociologist buddy met his wife through the board. So, you know, and I've been married for 5 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So the regular board was absolutely fine. It was this offshoot from Reddit, and they ended up starting to raid our board. They would, like, members from the Reddit community, because they were trying to get information, they were trying to get in, you know, kind of under the radar and make buddy-buddy. Their plan was they were trying to get information from senior members of the board that they could use to dox them.
Why? But for what purpose? Oh, because they were pissed off because they got voted off. Because they got removed. They were angry.
Yeah, and because our board, like, vocally spoke out against their thing. Like, it was on our splash page. It just said, you know, this is not a pickup artist community. If that's what you're after, move on. And it actually, first, it was a literal cyber war between these two competing boards. And they would, you know, send people in to raid our board. They would do DDoS attacks against our servers. It was actually insane. They were literally waging war on the ideas that we were putting forward, which were just, you know, support and, you know, working through things, how to find a good therapist, this, that, and the other thing. And they were just railing against it because they wanted everything to be, you know, pickup artist shit is the way to solve it, which does nothing for the female members of the board. But hey, you know, fuck them.
This is so it's so bizarre to think that there are these types of, like you said, wars that go on between. I saw a post the other day where it was some kind of like either, I believe it said East Coast versus West Coast furries were having some beef.
Yes, love furries.
Oh my god.
Logic has not furries, right?
What?
You know about furries, right?
Oh shit, I couldn't hear you for a second. You just like completely blacked out.
What?
Okay, try again. Try again.
I said you know about furries, right?
Of course I know about furries. Did you see the video with the guy from ICP and his furry daughter making the video about how whack it totally is that they got a bad furry suit off of like eBay?
No.
No.
Violent J from ICP.
Like, oh my snakes. God, I'm writing this down now.
Snakes got us. They sold us a bad furry suit. That is whack.
Kyle's right. You've done started it now. Shit.
It's on my list now.
Everybody knows what fantastic. The ideology show is going to be about in 2 weeks now. That's what's up.
This is how we figure out what all
Miles Tower is on.
That's how this show actually started. We were in a Twitter conversation, and me, Logic, and Shannon and Casey were talking about the different monikers that incels have. You know, the wrist cells, the skull cells, like you said, med cells. There are
that's how we ended up getting signed up to this. We were like, going through this list for some reason. I don't remember. And then it was like, yeah, we have to have a whole show about this. And I was just like, okay, all right. I guess so.
I don't know. I feel like you were more enthusiastic than that.
Were wrist cells and skull cells a thing back when you were in the incel board?
No, they weren't. That slang started coming about after the Reddit community got established, and I started hearing a little bit about it. But at that point in my life, I'd kind of moved on from the board, so I was just hearing it from other members that I still kept in contact with on Facebook and stuff. So I heard very little about it, but that popped up just around the time I dropped off the board. Hmm.
Can I see your wrists? Oh, those are good. Those are good. You're getting laid off of those wrists, man. No wonder you got married. Man, you said you got married, right?
I can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, so that's why.
So here, since you are married now, I do have a question. Like now, it's kind of seen incels now are kind of treated really poorly if they like all of a sudden are not incels anymore. And so they get all kinds of shit about it. So that wasn't a thing when you were part of the community. That was actually, like, it was, if you're not, like, how'd that work?
Actually, that kind of was a thing. And it wasn't something that we kind of like, where to start with it? Yeah, no, that was a thing. But whenever somebody would do that on the board, typically a moderator would kind of chime in and say, hey, look, you know, we try not to do this because we don't want to discourage people. So it happened sometimes, but it was addressed. It was more people looking for community, and, you know, when somebody would leave, they'd get butthurt over it, like, oh, well, you know, now you're abandoning the rest of us. And, you know, it's human nature, and the mods would always try to be like, hey, you know, tone it down. You know, people don't need this kind of discouragement.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is,
could
where
you
do think
stay?
That comes from?
Like, if you weren't... Oh, sorry, there's too many.
Oh, yeah.
We all have so many questions.
Yes, you could stay, and after my sociologist buddy ended up moving in with his the woman that he ended up marrying, both of them stayed on the board all the way until like 2010 just to keep in touch with people. And I would pop on and off of the board. I met my wife in 2008 and we started dating pretty much right away. And, you know, both of us stayed on the board for another year after that. So, yeah, no, you were more than welcome to stay on the board and, you know, be a supportive, you know, person to the friends that you had made there. But, you know, there was just not a whole lot of bitterness over people leaving the board. And it was addressed properly.
Gotcha.
All right. So, sorry. I want to say thank you for coming on for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons I want to thank you, and it's going to parlay into a question, is because I've encountered the other side of the coin where, you know, I post a picture of myself on Twitter and I've been inundated with, you know, thought and roasty and, you know, those sorts of things. So, but yeah. I try not to react too strongly towards a community because I understand that there's a community of people that do need that support and turn to it for the legitimate support that they feel that they need mentally, and they're doing it the best way that they can so that they can find solidarity and people to commiserate with. So I fear that there's people that really, really do need that support and that need that help that are now being condemned because they're under the banner of the people who are really, really vocal in doing those sort of nefarious, dark, deceitful, nasty, misogynistic things. So do you see that, are those people, I guess my question is, are those people, the people who really need support and need help and need to be elevated, do you see them getting that? Or do you think that it's become this really, really dark thing? Or are there different segments and we're only seeing the worst part?
So the people who are actually out there in bad situations and who might need help and support, people, you know, like you would have found on the original incel board, they're out there right now, and they actually don't really have a lot of resources. And it's the same reason that you can't use a swastika in a painting, you can't do the Roman salute. Those things have been tarnished and ruined for all time by a group of bad actors. So you can't be incel anymore without automatically being associated with that part of it. So the woman, God, I wish I could remember her handle. The woman who actually started the whole project on incels back in college in like 1995 was recently interviewed, and the interviewer asked her about, you know, what do you think of how this term's been co-opted and how people are using it? And she said, you know, it happens all the time. Good things get turned to, you know, bad, and you have to move on from there. And from what I understand, she's actually starting a second movement, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's literally just like people loving people, I think. And it's just kind of a rebranding of the original idea, because she was the person responsible for the original board, even though she dropped off of it in the early 2000s. So she's kind of coming back to it and trying to restore something that was once beneficial. And hopefully soon they'll have some place to go. Because honestly,
there's
sometimes
people legitimately need that. Yeah, and now they're tarnished. And if they do, and my fear is that those people who legitimately do need that support in that community, and an uplifting community, and a place where they can feel as though they're getting really strong community involvement, will think that they can turn to the existing boards, and they'll end up being, because perhaps they're lonely and perhaps they're vulnerable, they'll end up getting swept up into it because they don't have elsewhere to go. Like, they don't know where else to turn. And that
sales.
Builds this.
Sweat sales.
I don't know what that means.
Swept sales.
Because that's a legitimate fear of mine. Swept up.
Yeah, and
sweep cell. Broom cell.
That's a legitimate concern, though.
And you know what? I've actually seen that happen. That's actually how that kind of spread on the original board was, you know, once those members got booted, and they'd send people in and be like, hey, you know, I noticed, you know, when, you know, before we got booted, you've been talking to a particular member, you know, you were, you know, kind of leaning towards some of our ideas. Why don't you come over and check out our board? Because it doesn't seem like you're getting the help you need here, you know? And that's literally how they grew their board, was they acted like they were the only support network. And in all reality, it was a cheap pickup artist school. Yeah. So they preyed on the vulnerable and tried to, you know, bring them in under the indoctrination of, look, this is the only way you're getting out of this. We're the real deal. You go here or you go nowhere. And our board actually ended up kind of withering on the vine. And by the time I left, we were down to like 150 members from over 1,000.
Wow.
Oh, that's a big cut.
Yeah. It got wrecked in the period of a year. Between 2007 and 2008, that's when it all fell apart.
What we're going to do real quick now, because we're coming up to the got about 5 minutes left until the next guy. We're going to go a lightning round of questions real quick with everything you've always wanted to know from a former incel. And we'll start with Logic.
Bring it on.
You know, you talk about this board like it's sort of a loneliness support board almost, right?
Yeah, it kind of was. It was,
But then, like, why does it wholly center around, like, whether you get laid or not?
So that's kind of a misnomer. The original idea of incel wasn't whether or not you got laid, or, you know, there was no, like, cutoff, like, hey, I haven't been laid for a year. Oh, well, you're not incel until you haven't been laid for 5 years. It's almost nothing to do with that. The only time it was solely about that was with people who were medically celibate and were just looking for support from, you know, loving people, which most everybody on that board was. The rest of it was, the rest of the definition of incel is a little more broad. It's not being able to establish a committed romantic relationship. So it was people not only who couldn't, you know, who couldn't get laid, because life's not all about getting your dick wet. Yes, it is. And
no, it isn't.
I know. Yeah. No, so it kind of expanded into, hey, you know, I can't find anybody to, you know, to build a relationship with. You know, I went on eHarmony and they matched me with a gun. You know, those type of people.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, no. No.
Panda.
No. I'm going to hell.
It's all right.
It's no hell, Panda. I mean, you're okay. You'll get past this.
Yeah. It's a pretty good joke.
Luckily, nobody here believes in that, so don't worry.
That's right. You're in the right room for that.
I keep using this. I keep reverting to my old Christian slang.
Okay. Okay, Dave. All right, Casey?
Yes. So why, bye honey, sorry. Why do you think that the incel movement turned so sour? I've seen that people blame.
I can't hear anything anymore.
Oh, Logic can't hear. So feminism, some people blame. Oh, you want me to stop?
No, I was telling Logic, hold on.
I think once Dave talked, it threw Logic out again.
Okay. So can you still hear me, Panda?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So why do you think it turned? I've seen some people blame like feminism and the rise in the feminist movement. And that's why incels kind of turned like to a darker place. What do you attribute it to?
There was a little bit of that, and it wasn't so much a rise in it. Most of the senior members of the board that we were on were female. And the board had always been, you know, feminist friendly, as it were. It had always been, you know, a place where everybody was treated 100% equally. And what ended up happening was the more people, because this was around the same time, like 2001 to 2007-8-ish, was like the huge growth spurt of the pickup artist community. And when it finally hit its peak in like 2007, you started getting more people buying into that, and people on the board would start buying into that, and they would start making misogynist remarks. And what kind of started the divide was when the female members of the board speak up and say, hey, that's not fucking cool, knock it off. And that's kind of what started the schism, was the pickup artist crowd being as they are, and the women on the board not sitting there and taking it and actually standing up for themselves. And that's actually pretty much the reason for the divide. That's where the huge fight started between everybody, and that's what ended up getting all those people kicked off the board.
All right,
and last question goes to Shannon.
Yeah, so sorry, I interrupted with a bunch of questions. I'm like that, I'm sorry. So why do you think that they have such targeted aggression towards women now? I mean, I'm sure this is just speculative now, but did you see any inclination that you can speak towards back then as to why they have such targeted aggression and sort of disdain for women now, or so it seems? I could be wrong.
Well, honestly, it all stems from the pickup artist community. the whole idea, you know, that you should aspire to be Tom Cruise's character from Magnolia, you know, be the ultimate asshole.
We'll never just be out Tom Cruise.
Smash pussy.
Never be Tom Cruise. That's a good rule in life. Never.
You know what? He's shorter than me, and that's saying something, okay? so, anyway, their whole mentality is this, you know, I've got to go out there and claim what's mine. I've got to be, you know, the alpha male. I've got to, you know, assert my dominance over everybody. And, you know, to do that, I have to treat women like property. And that attitude, you know, while it does, in some circumstances, make one have the appearance of the puffed up chest alpha male, and, you know, it does grant them the confidence to go to a bar and actually ask a girl out. It's just all false bravado and posturing that leads to their actual indoctrination into that way of thought. So it's taught as a posturing method in the pickup artist community, but some people actually take it to heart and think, well, you know, this is just the way it's supposed to be. And it's giving rise to a whole new wave of misogyny out there that, you know, and I'm not talking like the, you know, angry internet feminist, you know, with the horned glasses. I'm talking like the rational person would look at this and just be like, no, you guys are fucked up. It's absolutely outstanding how fast they've mutated something into this weird mental illness. And it's almost, I think of it that way, it's like a mimetic mental illness. It's just spread via the internet.
Got it.
Okay.
Because these people are 100% indoctrinated.
That's one way to put it, I think. And we're getting ready to dive into a little bit about how they are today. Panda, I want to thank you for coming on, especially on such short notice, and sharing your story.
No problem. Fascinating. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
And yeah, anytime.
So we'll say goodbye to Panda. Thanks again. And
thank you, guys.
Goodbye.
Logic, you can hear us, correct?
I can hear, yeah. We had a bit of technical issues there. I kind of lost the entire call for a while, but I'm back.
Excellent. And Inquisitor, are you with us?
Oh, I hope I am.
You are.
Woohoo! I did it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did it.
Did it.
So I found Inquisitor last night when I learned that the guy we had originally coming couldn't make it. He had, it was a family emergency. But I typed in incels in Twitter search, and the actually it was the second profile that popped up was just incel things. So I clicked on it, and I thought might be exactly what I need. And we got you. And why don't you let everybody know who you are and what you do? Like, why did you open that incel account, or the just incel things account?
First off, I'm moderately upset that I'm the second on the search. I opened it in all honesty. I used to belong to a forum called Kiwi Farms, and they do a lot of like monitoring of different, you know, different people, different, you know, kind of crazy larger than life characters. And I found myself getting more and more kind of entranced by this incel community. My wife and I would talk about it constantly because she was on the site too. And then it just became kind of our thing. And it was like, you know, I don't think people really know like the extent of this community and the things they say and the things they plan and what they do and what they have done. And it really started off as kind of just almost like an inquisition, thus the name Inquisitor. It was kind of like, you know, I'm going to put this out there, so you all have to kind of atone for what you've been saying. You know, you can't hide on this website anymore. Now it's going to be out in the public. And then, I don't know, I guess I kind of I went a little over the end or over the edge, and now I have, you know, three people and me, and we're doing incel stuff, and it's just kind of gone from there.
Oh, wow. It's got to be a dark day for you every day, though. Cause reading some of the things that, you know, is put out there, how do you stay sane? That would be my first question.
Well, it's a question I get a lot, and a lot of times, especially when the you know, incels will come after me on Twitter, you know, they accuse me of spending so much time, you know, on their website that, you know, I'm spending more time than they are. And the truth is, it takes, you know, it's my elevator ride from the first floor to my four at work is how long it takes to find some of the things they say. So it's okay. Really only 15 seconds out of my day. So the rest of my day is pretty cheerful. I live with an amazing wife. I have an amazing job. I have a cute cat whose name is Inquisitor Cat. So, you know.
Excellent. All right. Well, I guess what we'll do what we did there a second ago with Panda and just go down the line and ask whatever you want. Because I know there's so many different questions that we all have. That way we all can, you know, kind of get them in. And Logic, what have you what would you want to be the first question that you have for a gentleman that spends all day long doing nothing but sorting through, or not all day long, because he just said 15 seconds, but spends 15 seconds of his day sorting through incel material.
So is it like, you know, if it's that easy, is there like a couple specific places that are like the ultra crazy, and then there's sort of the less crazy general, like widespread contingent, or is it like just every post is complete nuttery?
So it's, you know, it's definitely like, you know, peaks and plateaus. You get some days where it's like, oh my God, I've got 3 days worth of stuff off of this website, but I've got nothing off of this website. It used to be the main three incel boards were incel.me, Incelocalypse, which has been taken down, and of course the Incel Reddit, which was taken down. When the Incel Reddit and Incelocalypse were taken down, it became a little more stable for a while. You didn't get a lot of the women hatred. You didn't get a lot of the "I'm going to go on a, you know, mass murder spree. I can't wait to kill my teacher. I can't wait to kill my parents. This is how I'm going to do it." And that's what you saw in a lot of the Reddit board and the Incelocalypse, but they slowly kind of crept over to incel.me, and it has not been, you know, the moderators, they say, you know, constantly, "Oh yeah, we monitor." And it's like, okay, but that guy just showed a video of a girl getting her head cut off and you're all laughing about it. I don't see how you're being moderated. And it's, you know, don't stifle our creative minds kind of thing.
What?
Oh yeah. They actually have on incel.me, they have a mega thread for gore against women, and it's women getting cut in half, women getting executed by jilted lovers. I mean, it's bad. Oh, I made horrifying. The mistake of clicking on it one time.
Oh no. These people are sick fucks. That's all I'm going to say right now.
Oh man.
No.
That's
no,
a lot to
no,
take
no.
in.
No.
I wasn't ready for that.
No.
Casey?
Oh, now I have to figure out a question? Okay, so let's go a little lighter. Well, it'll probably be funnier. So what is, like, you know how incels we were talking about earlier have, like, there's all different kinds of them, right? And they have, like, different, like, blank cell names. What is, like, the weirdest or funniest or something that you've seen? Like, one that kind of stands out to you?
Oh, my God. It's funny because it's so long. And it sounds so official and medical, but it means absolutely dick, essentially. It's it was like a forward cranial tilt axial cell. And I was sitting here reading it, and I'm trying to figure out, because it's a username, and I'm going, what the hell is this? Is this Latin? You know? And then
so
I just sit
mean?
There and like kind of take like each, you have... you know, couple of letters and go, oh, he's talking. And basically what it is there's actually incels that believe that even the smallest deviation of the tilt of your eyes or the outline of your jaw means women don't want to talk to you.
Do you know why women don't want to talk to them? Because they're fucking assholes. That's why women don't want to talk to them.
I mean, I think it's the, you know, saying. The creepy asterisks they send in their text. It's all like, Asterix
it might be
brushes
that.
Up to you and says hello, tee hee hee. It's like, how do you respond to that?
It's just weird to me that you can walk around in the world and see all the different people in relationships and, you know, who are married and stuff walking around, and they all look different and they're all different shapes and sizes. And you go, no, right. You have to have this very specific jawbone, and you have very specific cheekbones and very specific eye alignment. And very specific skull size, or else you don't get laid. And it's like, this makes no sense, dude. Look around. The data disproves you if you just walk out your fucking door.
But this is where it gets almost, it gets dark. But this is, I mean, this is, I wish I had like that little South Park like streamer when they did a Scientology episode, like this is what incels actually believe. So they look at these people. Basically, it's been, and I say this all the time as a joke, but it's very true, is incels would make the best salesmen because they have a word track that they constantly stick to. They have, you know, an answer. They have a rebuttal to everything, and it's just practiced, and it becomes mantra. And then it's just, I mean, it gets to a point where if you've dealt with one incel long enough, you go to another incel and talk to them, and they'll start saying the same exact things. And it's because it's literally drilled into these guys' heads on this website. I mean, you go on to their forum on incels.me, and you click on any black pill posts, and it's basically one incel who's kind of, you know, high ranking or has been there a long time saying, you know, you are worthless, you are nothing, every woman looks at you and laughs, and you're going to die alone, so might as well die alone with us.
What the fuck? So this is really like abusive. Like, yeah. Not, and I don't mean just toward women. I mean toward members. Like this, they're a, yes. Like apparently there's some kind of hierarchy and they're abusive to each other.
Yes, very. And if you aren't, I mean, it's to the point where there's so much infighting in the incel community that a lot of things, I mean, they go from here's this concept and as terrible and misogynistic and horrible as it is, and you'll have five people agree, five people say no, it's this way because you're this or you're that, and if you're this you can't be incel, but I'm this so I can be because of XYZ. I mean, you almost need like an Excel sheet to really see what qualifies as an incel to what users.
Doesn't this, like, the last guy sounded so nice. It was like, oh, let's all just kind of feel better about, like, not having, you know, a relationship yet. And then this is, like, completely weird. But, like, don't you feel like somebody watched, like, too many teen movies in the year 2000? And, like, they somehow internalized the tropes and stereotypes from, like, a fucking comedy movie?
It's, yes, it's... Yeah, it's basically what it is. It's you have these guys that they watch, you know, TV shows that are meant to be social commentary. They watch a lot of porn. So they think that women are literally just like cockicidal maniacs, like every single one of them. And if they're not, it's your fault because you aren't an alpha male. And
I've seen a lot of weak faced little weenies in porn, just pointing out.
I mean, I don't usually look at the guy. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if you're clicking around, you're opening videos, you're seeing some of the guys.
It was one time, and I don't like
that. And if you have to, put yourself by proxy into their position, you're like, I don't look like that. I'm not 5'4" and 98 pounds.
He preaches truth.
So do they really buy it? Like, do they really believe the stuff that they're, like, I guess, I don't know. Do any of them actually realize that, like, enjoying videos of women getting cut in half is, like, probably why they aren't, like, able to have a normal relationship with a woman?
That's got to be a real niche thing, though, right? Like, that can't be, like, really widespread in their community, can it?
Well, I'm actually on their website right now. Let me go ahead. I'm going to click on off topic. And we're going to see, it's always here.
I feel like I need to hold on or strap in or something.
It's getting dark. Ready. One sec here.
I have a lot to say, but I'm being very quiet.
Oh, sorry, I'll Shannon. I'm done with my question. You go up next. I'm sorry.
Yes, Shannon is next.
I'll let him search the site, but I have so much to say. So that is a sort of really deep depressive cathartic activity that's attribution. So they're looking at women as the cause of their plight, and they are wishing bad things onto them because they see them as the point that is, or the external factor that they are helpless to control that is causing a plight. That like they have no resolution, because the only resolution is up to another person, and they have no control over those people. So this is an exercise in cathartic control. And if you are really, really deep and dark, and you are well into it, and you have some sort of other sort of sociopathic or psychopathic or deep depressive in some states or leanings that are fed by this, then that's a place that this can go. If you are already in a place that feeds that type of behavior and encourages it. And that's why this stuff scares me, because if you're in a place that is feeding and encouraging this, it becomes a normalization. Like you're surrounded by other people who say it's okay. So any sort of inclination that you may have had, but normally suppressed, comes to the forefront. And if it comes to the forefront and it's validated in numerous times, and you're presented with opportunities to have cathartic activities that continue that validation, that is why this is fucking scary. It's scary. Why don't people get help? Like help. Like, oh God.
Well, there are those who do come out and say, I think I need to go see, just quick kind of a side note, there's over 5 pages worth of gore with 255 posts that have about, on average, 5 to 6 videos a piece on them.
Whoa.
And that is since May of this year.
Can I ask you a question? What happens when somebody asks for help? What happens when somebody says, okay, my inclinations are scaring me. I'm having thoughts that I don't like. I don't like this, and I feel scared about it. Where do I go for help? Like, what advice would you guys have? What happens then?
It's one word, and it's going to sound disgusting and morbid, and I hate to be the one that's like the dark one on the show tonight.
I want the truth. Yeah,
but
the truth.
They literally will go rope, which means go hang yourself.
They tell them to commit suicide when they ask for help?
They will tell them that, to commit suicide.
I've seen that when I was looking for people to come on here. There are several posts throughout that thread, actually, on incels.me either they're referring to it themselves, like it's about time I meet the rope, or there'll be people saying that to other people. So that is 100% true.
And that's encouraged? That's encouraged.
Yes, like I'm actually reading one right now, and it's, you know, I went to go talk to a girl. They always say that she looks at me in disgust, which is, I mean, I'm going to say, you know, our perception is our reality. So if you already think this person is going to look at you in disgust, that person could smile and stick their tongue out, and you're going to go, oh, that she's looking at me in disgust, which is a whole different section of my theory on inceldom. And it's, you know, what should I do? How do I get past this? And the first 4 responses are kill yourself, go back and kill them, kill yourself, rape them,
kill yourself. Wow. So they're all violent resolutions. They're all violent resolutions.
It's honestly, as Panda was saying earlier, there was a time when it was, you know, listen, I'm just a lonely person. My dating pool is really small. You know, lonely people were trying to get together to find other lonely people. It wasn't really, in all honesty, until the Elliot Rodger killings in 2014 with his what they call the Black Pill Manifesto came out, which was basically saying that, you know, women only want, you know, alpha males. And if they're with someone that's not an alpha male, it's because they want their money, or, you know, it's because they're fantasizing about alpha males while they're having sex with them. And, you know, it's the 80-20 propaganda bull crap, which is that 80% of all women want the top 20% of all men.
You want to know a weird fucking thing about Elliot Rodger? Like, I looked at that guy and I was like, So you're talking like this, but you are exactly what in high school I would have expected to be the guy who got all the girls.
Yeah, nice. Like just car, by appearance. Rich dad.
I thought that was so strange because it was like he's whining how he can't get girls. And I'm like, well, there's only one thing because you look fine. So there's only one possible thing standing in your way, dude. And it's you.
And what it really boils down to, and this is going to sound really crass, and I apologize. It's that everything that incels blame women for is the exact effing thing they do themselves.
That's accurate.
You know, you sit there and you go, well, what about this girl? You know, she's lonely too. She's really nice. She's fun to be around. She's this. Oh, she's a land whale. She's too fat. I shouldn't have to settle for fat. It's this delusion of grandeur that they've kind of schemed up because of their kind of self-loathing tendencies. They go, well, I'm superior. I'm this ultimate gentleman. I deserve to have, you know, that 5'6", you know, blonde with legs up to the sky and, you know, giant boobs. I deserve to have this Playboy model. I shouldn't have to. And it's like, you say these things and then you'll hear them say these things. They're also the same guys that will go on Tinder or they'll go on like Plenty of Fish or, you know, OkCupid, and they'll message a girl and say, hey, I think you're really cool. We should hang out. And the girl's like, hey, listen, I'm not really into you. And they clap back with, oh, well, you're a fat skank anyway. You know, I just wanted to get my dick wet. And it's like, whoa.
Is it possible to get a read at all on the average age? It's probably pretty hard on these like anonymous forums, right?
They have actually on the incels.me board, they have kind of like a welcome thing where it's like meet the incels. I would say your average age is between 16 to 25.
That makes a lot of sense.
Oh. Yeah. So these are guys that just, I mean, late bloomers in high school and, you know, for whatever reasons, now all of a sudden it is just this, you know, militant women are evil because I didn't get laid. I didn't get to experience young love. So the world is cold and I hope everyone dies.
It's such a shitty attitude. I didn't get laid in high school either. What do you fucking do?
Yeah, I was in college.
I didn't either.
The time that they spend behind the, you know, behind a keyboard and on these message boards, talking about this stuff, looking at this stuff and complaining about this stuff, they could actually spend working on the one thing, like Logic said, keeping them from, you know, obtaining what they want. And that is working on themselves, working on their personality, getting out there, being social. What they're doing is they're shutting themselves up by themselves in a room and surrounding themselves with people who have the same issue they do, which is the lack of self-awareness, the lack of social skills, or, you know, ability to just hold a regular conversation without, or take simple rejection without clapping back with the, you're a land whale, or, you know, I'm just trying to get my dick wet, or I want to saw you in half. I mean, that's just not normal behavior.
I remember being in high school and being absolutely mad that because I thought like the reason that girls didn't like me or whatever was like I'm like fat, I'm ugly and whatever, and like they'll never like me. And it was like, no, looking back at me at that age and even into my 20s maybe, although I did get laid before then, but you know even so, I was just a shitty person and I didn't bother to work on my social skills and I didn't fucking know anything. Now it's just a moron.
Yeah.
It takes, you have to recognize that in yourself and change it. That's the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, personality, you can get laid.
Social skills are huge, like huge, huge, massive, especially if you want to, if you're trying to meet somebody. Once you establish a relationship, it becomes easier to demonstrate social skills. But if you're in an environment where you have to strike up a conversation, that's significantly more difficult. And it's easier to take on a persona behind a keyboard, right? And I just thought, I fear for these people. And I've reaped, holy hef, oh my goodness, have I ever reaped the wrath of these people just merely for having the nerve to exist on the internet with my face. Like, it's just wow. And what?
And your boobs.
My face and my what? Oh, yeah. I don't really have any control over that, though. That's no more in my control.
It's just sort of part of my body.
She got called a roasty, didn't you? They called you a roasty.
Oh, I got called.
What is a roasty?
Oh, it no.
We will get demonetized so fast.
Okay, you guys can tell me. You can tell me later if it's
we'll tell you later. Everybody else can Google because we will demonetize this so quickly. Yeah, I get called a roasty. I get called a thought a lot, quite frequently.
It's a certain part of your anatomy looks like roast beef because it of like sustained friction. Oh, I guess I don't
know. Sustained friction.
This has always been my retort to that. Is wouldn't a guy's thing get smaller in the same sense if a woman's got? I mean, wouldn't it get like? It's like by that logic, you could turn a freaking sausage into a little Vienna sausage after like four Viennese. People, I guess
Viennese. That's good. So we've got about 5 minutes before we go to Sal, which is going to be our third guest. So we'll go back through one more time and ask any last minute questions. I want to thank you for coming on again last minute.
Thank you.
It was really cool of you. You've been fantastic, and this has been great. So Logic, we'll kick back off with you.
Jesus. So, like, so you think that some of the people are like straight out of the I saw Elliot Rodgers videos and now I'm an incel? Like, you think those people have really taken over?
Oh yeah, it's to the point where they actually celebrate it. They have, all kinds of like little online festivals that they do, and just, I mean, it's. Around the time that Elliot Rodgers did his shootings, it was 2014. I think it was in May, like May 20th, May 23rd. They go crazy on the message boards, and it's just post Elliot Rodgers stuff, and they make all of their little avatars Elliot Rodgers, and it's what was your favorite thing he did, and if you could help him, how many more people do you think you could kill? And it's not like it's a small portion of this group. I would say 90% of them. Now, the 10% that don't agree with Elliot Rodgers will flat out say, no, he was a moron. He was a disgusting human being. So there's that little kind of like glimmer of hope. But the majority is, I'm so glad he did it. I would have helped him. How would you have done it? I wish I could go, they call it going ER. I want to go ER in my high school. I want to go in, ER at where I work. I'm going to go ER on all the, women that turn or Stacey's that turned me down. So,
I can understand young people like feeling that way in a way. Cause young people have a really fucked perspective a lot of the time. Like the culture around them tells them things that aren't true. Like sex is put on this huge pedestal as this massively important central aspect of your life. And it's so fucking false. It's so untrue. And it takes a long time to get that out of your head.
Good point.
Yeah. At least for me, my first time it was like, oh wow, really? That's what it was.
Yeah, it's really like, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's not like once you sort of get used to it, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is just whatever.
Look, Ma, no hand.
Y'all aren't doing it right. Y'all aren't doing it right.
Yeah. Me and
Kyle are on different
Casey. Oh, I don't really have a question. I'll give my question time to Shannon. I just wanted to say thanks for coming on and for what you do. I think it's really important that that people expose what these communities are, because they're really horrifying and they're really dangerous. And I'm not sure what's causing them to grow or be emboldened, but I think people need to know what they are and what they do, and that they really they need help, but they also have to want help. So like, I don't know. I think it's important what you do. So you keep doing you, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What's up? Okay, Shannon.
Okay. So I have two things. One, kind of to mirror Casey, I wanted to say thank you for coming on and for doing what you do, because I think
like my point prior when we were talking to Panda, when you critique the incel community or when you point to the things that they're doing, people say, yeah, but that's not who they are. Who they are people that are reaching out for help. And you shouldn't just criticize people who are reaching out for help because you'll drive them further in. Now, one of the reasons I think that we need to bring light to the things that you're bringing forth is because those people that do need help need to know that that's not where to turn and that there's other places and that that's not safe or healthy. So thank you for what you're doing. The question that I would have for you is, do you see anything changing the climate there at all? Is there any glimmer that it might be getting better, or do you think that it might be getting worse?
Without sounding like some kind of like doomsday talker or anything like that, there is a very big reason it went from just me to three people. There is actually more content than I personally have time for. So I have two other people. They go by Bishop and Cleric. You'll see them. We tag ourselves in whatever posts we make. And it's that reason. It's because, I mean, I spend maybe an hour in total a day on Twitter that I have free time, and that's not enough to grip everything I need. So they've actually volunteered to help out, and they send me content, and it's just growing. I mean, we opened up our Discord that we use to talk about, you know, just incel things, and the first person that went in there was like, I can't handle this because it's just literal nonstop messages going up, constant screenshots, constant this. And it's just, I mean, it really has become, the more light they've got, and I mean, between, you know, the Isla Vista shootings and the Toronto attacks and the Texas school shooting, it's just been getting bigger and bigger. And I'm not sure if it's getting bigger because it's now become kind of this weird, like, edgy, popular thing to do. And there's also, I'm sure, people like me that go and look at these forums for whatever reason, and they make their accounts. But, I mean, I've noticed in incels.me, there is a lot more posting. There's a lot more new members. And it's just, like, constant information to the point where, I mean, every day you go on there and you'll see, you know, this, you know, thread was created, and this is a moment ago. And there's 75 of them that were made a moment ago. So that's before 1 minute. So in 1 minute, they're making anywhere between 75 to, you know, 100 posts.
And they're all bad, nasty, violent, misogynistic.
Oh, yeah. Posts? That's the recipe for an incel post.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Because I worry. When I critique them, people say, well, you're lumping in the people that, you know, just need help and just identify and are just like, you know, like Panda was. And that's my fear, but I don't want that fear, the fear that I'm going to be accused of lumping those people into my critiques to stop me from critiquing when this is so dangerous. And when those people, the very people that are trying to be protected when somebody criticizes me for this critique, If people like us aren't publicly doing it, that's where they'll end up. Mm-hmm. And that's good for them.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, yes, do I think every single incel is inherently evil? No. Do I think it's as small a majority as incels would like to say? No.
That are influential.
Only because it's just a constant, like I said, it's a constant sea, you know, a wave of just aggression from them. Now, I mean, in like Panda's case, he came from a different generation of incel where it was just, I'm kind of love shy. Whereas now it's become much more militant. It is a constant, we have to uprise. We have to, you know, kill this person because they looked at us wrong or because they didn't look at us wrong. You know, it's definitely getting a little more aggressive.
I don't think people who truly need the help either would consider themselves incel if they knew what that entailed. You know what I mean? Like, if knowing what the movement as a general, you know, overall, yeah, they wouldn't associate with that, or at least not that I would think. Now, if they do that, and that means to me they're condoning it, so that makes them just as
just as guilty.
But that's why this is good, though, because somebody might be vulnerable. That's why these sorts of things are good, because somebody might be vulnerable and just kind of wade into that community because they didn't have this information and end up being influenced.
Right. Well, it's the big thing that we have to really worry about, in all honesty, is that you do have these people that do have, you know, certain social disorders, certain mental disabilities. I owned the business for a long time, and one of my favorite customers was severely autistic, very nice guy, but he got in with people online, and one day out of the blue, he started coming in and talking about how, you know, he was gonna, you know, castrate himself because women wouldn't have sex with him, so he might as well just, you know, everyone told him to kill himself, but he was going to castrate himself because then it wouldn't matter anyway. He wasn't going to kill himself because he liked his friends. And it's like, where did you hear this stuff? And that's what they do. And it's just like this, they don't realize that there are people out there that really do have these mental disorders that they make fun of, that are listening to the hate they spew. And this is the result, is you have this person who, you know, knows right from wrong, has a social disorder, so it's kind of a blurred line with them, and then wrong becomes right, they get confused, they have an episode, and it turns violent, and God knows what's going to happen after that.
Well, I wish we could say that we're ending on a high note with you, but we have Sal that's getting ready to pop on, so Casey, did you have something that you wanted to add in on that before we...
One really quick question. Do you think these people are a danger to society, like, overall?
A danger to society? Physically, no. I think that we will see isolated things that we've blown very out of proportion because it is becoming a more popular term and a more popular culture. I think that as far as actual just the way we think, that's it's basically like a toxicity for the mind is what incel-dom has become. It's just this poisoning of young men's minds that's going to, you know, I mean, does that potential, that poisoning, to go into a physical manifestation? Of course, anything does. But I mean, it's just, we're going to have a generation of, you know, a section of men that just sit there and go, well, women are evil, so women are this, which, I mean, it's one of those things where even if they do happen to find somebody, those are very hard things to unwire out of the brain. So who knows what they're going to be perpetuating to their offspring, you know, to their kids.
Right.
So it's just, it's sense. Kind of like we don't have enough of it yet, really, to have a model of how dangerous it could be.
Sure. Well, Inquisitor, I want to thank you very much for coming on. This was fantastic. And thank you for what you do. And I really appreciate you coming on last minute.
That was, oh, no problem.
Really cool of you to do.
Thank you.
So you have a good evening. And
you as well, guys.
We will unmute Sal. Sal, I found when I was searching last night for a replacement for the guy that I had coming originally. Now, Sal's a little different because Sal doesn't identify as an incel. It just came up through the threads. I believe... You said, Sal, correct me if I'm wrong, but you would say that you're more of a MGTOW, right?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Hello.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, good.
Hi.
Well, thanks for having me on. I mean, I used to be a MGTOW, but I certainly hold a lot of sympathy for the incel movement and the MGTOW movement, for that matter.
Okay. Why don't you? I think you heard a lot of what Inquisitor had to say. Why don't you kind of tell us how you would react to that and why you have the sympathy that you do? Like, where does that stem from?
Well, I mean, I think what it really comes down to is the issue that, and I was listening to it, and I definitely agreed with some of the sentiments that he was making, but in terms of what you really have to do, and what I believe is that in our society, when you have the media, and I think we all know that the media isn't always the most trustworthy at the moment. When you always hear them coming down and saying, oh, no, being an incel is bad, you know, it is kind of fear-mongering to them. And I really don't fundamentally think that's going to help resolve the issue. I mean, there will always be an incel kind of community in the world, that's for sure. But if we can kind of reduce the community to a fickle one and try and keep it low underground, then that's not going to, that's be the way to go, and not blowing it up to some massive proportion, I suppose.
But okay. you know, the media reports on it.
So. And I know you guys have a lot of questions on this side. Go ahead and answer that in just a second, Sal. But I know that we have a lot of questions from this angle. So I want to kind of go like we've been doing and go down. And that way it keeps it kind of orderly without everybody talking over each other. But go ahead and speak to what KC just said.
So, okay, you know, that the media talks about it sometimes, and definitely not to the extent of what it actually is, because of what women have to deal with from these people. I mean, incels on the internet are terrible, terrible to women. And so, I mean, that's why people talk about it. I don't think that it's necessarily blown up. I don't think people know enough about this community.
Well, I mean, the real solution to that is then just to turn off your phone or shitpost back
at
them. I mean, yeah.
I have to turn off my phone because some asshole on the internet is being a dick.
All right.
Then mute them. Simple. I mean, there are assholes everywhere, you know. There'll be assholes in real life. I'm sorry, but like, it's not just a thing that is exclusive to women, you know.
Okay, Shannon, take a deep breath. We're gonna take a deep breath, Shannon. We're gonna switch to Logic real quick, and then we'll come down the line.
Oh, I think Logic. You guys should go first.
Okay, Shannon.
Okay, I took deep breaths. Sorry for the no. Sorry for the out loud no. I apologize for that. I shouldn't have interrupted you. That was a visceral reaction.
Don't worry about it, mate.
It's okay. So it was a visceral reaction. So when you say the solution to that is mute your phone, I have a couple things to say. One, that's not a solution, because the people that are behaving in that fashion are behaving in that fashion for a reason. And that reason is not a healthy one. Muting my phone doesn't contribute. Give me one moment and I'll finish my sentence.
Let's not talk over each other, guys, because the people out there in the audience can't understand when it's all jumbled together. So Sal, let her get her thought out, and I'll give you all the time that you need to answer her back, okay? All right, Shannon.
Absolutely, and I'll definitely give you the same respect, and I won't interrupt you. And I apologize for the no. So muting my phone doesn't contribute to helping people understand that those types of reactions aren't okay. Now, just to give you a little bit of background on me, I've had an inundation of those. And instead of reacting with disrespect, I've done what I can to react with respect and understanding, and try to get to know, in certain cases, some of the people who have out of nowhere come at me with just really repulsive commentary for almost no reason. Now, saying just mute your phone, what does that contribute to? What that allows those people to continue to behave in a manner that is repugnant? And it's almost a tacit endorsement. It's almost a tacit endorsement. So what you're suggesting is, if I'm understanding, is that responding in any way at all, even in a positive attempt at understanding, is giving them attention. So,
well, I mean,
you're just saying it's hopeless, way, that yes, they're just going to react this way forever. Like, you're giving up on them.
Well,
this is okay behavior, and nobody should address it. Okay, I'm sorry, I did interrupt you. Please go ahead.
Don't worry about it. But I think, look, the solution to this at the fundamental core is to help create men's spaces and, for lack of a better term, male-only groups where, you know, men can be men. I mean, in our current society, it's quite feminized, if we're going to be honest, and that has led to the issue of the incel, if we're going to be honest. I mean, the whole issue of male-only spaces creates an area where men can get off steam, you know, be men. And I think that's the issue that our society does not allow for men to be men. That's the fundamental issue that I see.
What does that mean? Men allow men to be men?
Our society is feminized. What, you know.
No, I heard that. But like, what does that mean? Men to be men. What do men need to do in spaces by themselves?
well, like, you're not clearly a man. So, and I'm just saying that, like,
no, I'm not a man. That's why I'm asking you.
Shit talk with each other, you know, chat shit, talk shit, you know, that kind of thing of talking shit about one another is really kind of an attitude that really helps men not become incels. We've got, like, mates you can rely on. You know, a man's your mate, and you've got mates you can rely on who can say, oh, well, you know, you may not be the best, most alpha man here, but, you know, let's give you a hand in trying to, like, help improve yourself. And that kind of attitude is certainly lacking in our society, I suppose.
So how does that help you get fucked?
Pardon?
How does that help you get fucked? Like, you say it will help people not be incels. How does that help you get laid?
Well, if you're around other men, it's a breeding chamber of self-improvement in a way. If you're around other men, it's all, you know, you learn from each other, you pick up each other's traits, whether they be good, and that'll help you, you know, not be so kind of shy and reserved about it. I can tell you for a fact, I was pretty kind of beating myself I'm still fairly bitter, but I'm certainly improving, that's for sure. And I can tell you for a fact, that's because I've gotten new mates who have helped me improve myself.
But that means that would indicate that you do sort of, you found a space. So when you say there should be men's spaces where these things can take place, where people can find sort of, solidarity amongst their counterparts, I don't have an issue with that. I think people should find solidarity among their counterparts. Are you suggesting that they did exist, but now they don't? Because this is a relatively new sort of uprising. So to say that they should have them, were they taken away? Is that the suggestion, that they existed and they've been taken away and they need to be reinstated? And that would solve this problem?
Well, when you have things like quotas in the workforce, whether they be in upper ranks or in, for example,
a workforce isn't a place for people to rise up. It's a place to work.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't see that there isn't a social kind of, I mean, if you look at something, I've got a few mates who work in the garbage industry, and, you know, they would all kind of chat shit with each other and they'd be good mates. And that kind of would be a good kind of mental outlet for men. But I mean, I've also got other mates who work in fields in some of the white collar areas where they say that it's all kind of so self-censored with women around, because if you say something that's slightly controversial, you can get immediately kind of slapped on the wrist for it.
So because women entered workspaces, now men can't talk.
Well, it's not just
in
workspaces.
It's
not
fashion.
Just workspaces, though.
Okay, well, I'm speaking towards that because that's the example that you brought forth. So in this particular example, because it's the one that you put on the table here that we're discussing, because men can't talk in an uncensored fashion in the workspace because a woman may be offended, that is creating an environment in which men feel as though they're oppressed because now women are allowed to work alongside them.
It's creating an environment which means that men aren't really able to chat shit, which is, I mean, and really kind of talk the shit, I suppose. And that kind of issue has led to men becoming self-censored and not being able to really express their male kind of outlets and male emotions to other men.
You don't feel as though women have that same sort of, that's imposed on women as well. So do you feel as though women are able... Is there the same imposition on women? Do you feel as though a woman in a workspace with another woman, if there's a man around, isn't able to talk in an uncensored fashion to another woman that they may be commiserating with because a man is present?
I mean, maybe there'd be
Do we
one
have
or
the same imposition
with,
on us?
I mean, there may
it's
be
the
one
exact
or two
same
cases
thing.
Where you get someone very good. It's not quite the exact same thing. That's the thing.
It is the exact
it's
same
literally the
exact
thing. Same thing.
Literally, well, just women deep. And men.
Yeah, but
well, let's
men
ask,
and
let's
women
ask Logic.
Are different.
What do you think? Do you think Logic? Have you ever felt like you needed a space away from women that you can just shit talk with?
Space where you can just be an asshole. men's space, that's what we need. Safe space where you can be an asshole.
If I want to talk to friends, if I want to go and have a boys, if I want to go out and have a boys' night, then I'll go with the men. I don't expect to be exactly. Like. I don't really understand the problem, to be honest with you.
Nobody's stopping men from doing that.
Like, yeah, well, exactly. I completely agree that, like, you know, it's kind of good for guys to be able to, like, talk to other guys and sort of develop themselves alongside each other as, like, bros. But I don't see how, like, a mixed workspace is preventing that. Like, I don't really get it.
Well, I mean, in Australia, we have... We generally have two kind of classes of people, you know. You've got the urbanites who work in the city centres, and then you've got the fluoro-collar class, you know, people who work out and punch smoko and punch tinnies during lunchtime. But these kind of, there's a distinct kind of class divide. And I think that people, there is definitely an aspect that it's a lot more manly in the kind of blue-collar, fluoro-collar class worker, where, you know, there's not as many women around, you know, you can chat shit. You know, that kind of thing.
I do agree that a white-collar job is very stuffy. I've worked both. Compared to the blue-collar job, the white-collar job is an awful lot more, like, formal and sort of... you never have really, like... You don't have, like, opening up and just kind of letting it all hang out type of stuff really at work in the office. But... there are guys working there. If you want to be friends with another guy, you just go like, hey man, let's go out and get a drink after work or something. Like,
oh yeah, I know, but I'm simply saying that there's definitely an aspect that is hindered by, you know, going to HR in 5 seconds if you're offended, I suppose.
Okay, so like, you're presuming.
I know we're all jumping over each other. We're all jumping over each other, but let me see if I can't. Dive in a little bit deeper here in what you personally believe, because obviously I went through your timeline and read some of your tweets, and there is one tweet that really I think is just, I don't know why you would tweet this, and I want to ask you about this. And you said, yeah, the boys club in the sewage industry is horrible. We need more women dying from bacterial diseases.
Yeah, that was a satire joke. In the context of
it's not
thread,
fucking funny. It's not funny. I don't know why. Okay, explain this to me. Why do you presuppose that the male position is automatically douchebag? Like, not all men are assholes.
Sal, I want to hear why the satire reason for it, and then we'll jump into. Her question, but what was the satire? Like, what was it in satire of?
Well, I mean, I think they were talking about, I think it was a new regulation that's been passed in Australia to get 50-50 in the parliament. And I was simply saying that, you know, there's definitely this whole idea of a glass ceiling, but, you know, there's no such thing as the glass coffin as well, which kind of, like, how many women are kind of vying to get into the sewage industry or the trash industry? For example, these kind of industries are almost exclusively with men because they're not exactly the most kind of, I guess, women kind of appropriate industries, you know. And it's funny that I don't see women kind of clamoring to get into these industries when they're definitely clamoring to get into the management industries, that's for sure.
I understand your joke. Your joke is that lots of men, it's a predominantly male industry, and most of those males, because they're in the sewage plant, are susceptible to dying of bacterial diseases. And if they fight for 50-50 women there, then there's a better chance that the women dying of bacterial diseases will increase. And that's the subject of your joke. You weren't wishing that women would die of bacterial diseases. You were saying lots of men do. And if they want the same equality across the board, that would include sewage plants, which would make them susceptible. So I get your joke. I get it. I understand your joke. I get it.
Thank you.
I get it. So, and to be fair, if I want to have this conversation with you, I have to give those concessions. I have to say, you know what? I get that point. I get that there are men that are doing jobs that are
you know, dirtier and harder and more dangerous that maybe we're not all fighting for. You know, maybe there are differences between the two of us. Sure. Like, it's not my field of study. I study psychology. But that's not the part of psychology that I study. I study perceptual cognition and communication. So I don't study gender differences. So I'll allow that for the sake of this conversation. I will give that concession for the sake of this conversation. None of that is an excuse for message boards filled with women being sawed in half and rape threats and people saying that they should hang each other.
For the record, I don't get the joke and I don't think it's funny. I don't think it was funny.
I didn't say I thought it was funny. I say I get the joke.
Yeah. Oh, I know you didn't. I'm just saying that you can't tell when, like for me, for example, when I was going through your timeline, I couldn't tell that was any type of satire. So it just looks like you're wishing more women to die in the sewage industry. You know what I mean? I mean, is that okay?
Oh, I mean, look, I think you really have to understand, and I'm not trying to justify what I'm saying, but I'm simply saying that definitely in the circles I follow on Twitter, everyone does kind of take the piss out of each other. I suppose I was taking the piss out of, you know, the whole conversation.
Yeah. Well, you asked Casey question a second ago.
I have a point that goes towards the sewage industry thing also. Sure. To you're saying that more men are in that industry. More women are probably in the care industry for children and seniors and nursing, where they're exposed to all kinds of diseases with the same sort of safety measures. So not necessarily. Oh my goodness. Do you think a lot of childcare workers get paid minimum wage or lower, and that they're exposed to a myriad of disease? That's just an assumption. That's an assertion and an assumption. And without evidence, you're just saying that so that you can defend your really poor taste joke.
I don't think I need to justify what someone finds funny to someone else. Everyone has different tastes of humor.
You don't have to justify.
I thought this was meant to be about. I thought find this funny. Was meant to be about incels, not some silly offhand joke I made in a silly thread.
Well, we don't have to make it. We don't have to make it about that. I was just I was going through looking for somebody to come in here and talk about incels. I asked you specifically if you were would you identify as an incel, and you said no. And some of the things, without the context of you saying that it was a joke, to me seemed like you leaned that way. So I was trying to suss out if you really were or not. But with the different context that, okay.
I asked. But I mean, like you were saying earlier, when you see the kind of thing with rape threads and gore threads, I do think that is quite despicable, if I'm going to be honest as well. Yeah. And
thank
my
you.
Fundamental solution is to kind of promote male spaces and male identity.
So is one of your solution points for women being in the workplace that only men be allowed in the workplace and women be where?
Well, the logical conclusion, if you're going by this road of logical conclusionism, obviously I think it's clear to say that I'm a bit more traditionalistic than a lot of other people in our current society. And I think, I think there are definitely some industries where women certainly thrive, those being psychology, care industry. I think those definitely industries where women thrive, but there are definitely others where they don't thrive as much. That's for sure.
So do you think that industries should be separated by gender? What I'm asking is, what's your solution for women in the workplace? Do you think that jobs should be segregated by gender, or that women should not be allowed in the workplace? What's your solution to this whole men and women being in the workplace together, as if that's some kind of serious problem?
I mean, if it worked 70 years ago, I don't see why we wouldn't be able to go back then.
It didn't work 70 years ago.
So that's why the society progressed, is because that didn't work. It might have worked for men.
I think, we certainly beat the Germans twice, I think that kind of society where men worked in the workforce You know, it certainly did work.
Women built the weapons while men were gone. Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. So one example of women working in industry, big deal.
Wow. You didn't answer the question. Being at work 70 years ago isn't answer the question. What is your answer today? Do women only get to do a list of jobs and men only get to do a list of jobs? And who gets to pick that list? We don't get to go to sewage plants even if we want to. Because somebody might want to talk about dick and might get upset.
Well, partially, yes.
I talk about dick all the time.
So do I.
Oh, well, I mean,
we talk about dick all the time. I don't know what your fucking problem is.
That is true. They do.
So do you think is your solution that women stay home? Is that your solution, women stay home and raise families?
Well, I mean, yeah, there are definitely economic benefits to it as well.
Okay, so what about somebody like me? Okay, I can't have children. Despite wanting them, I can't have children. So I'm getting advanced degrees, and I'm in the rocket science industry, okay? So I do shit. Like, so what should I do? Because obviously I can't be a rocket scientist because that would be a men's space, right? So what do I do?
Have you considered adopting?
Iron.
Maybe she doesn't like kids.
Iron. So I mean, what if I liked my career?
Well, then good luck with your career. I guess I don't agree with you then.
So you think I shouldn't be allowed to have a career?
I think.
Yeah,
that's
an interesting question. You don't agree that she should be able to do that?
I think that in the current year, to fundamentally solve some of our issues, you know, kind of avoid, you know, the whole, let me just discuss something.
So solving the issue of men being pissed off means that women need to go the hell home?
Let me discuss
that. Men are pissed off because we're not home?
What?
Let him you guys aren't going to like throw your toys out of the pram.
Let him finish his point real quick so we can respond. Go ahead, Sal.
Okay. What I was going to say is, well, this is a bit more kind of a context, but I guess for most of history, we've all been kind of, I guess, we haven't been monogamous. You know, we've been a fairly hypergamous society. And now this has been fairly in a tribal kind of aspect. In the last 2,000 years or so, you know, we have become a monogamous society. Now, this has had many kind of benefits to it, such as not spending all your energy trying to chase tail, and has led to society where all the energy has been pushed to one point, you know, to create empires, civilization, conquest of other nations. Not on the same aspect that we saw 3,000 years ago. This has been at a much more refined level with the monogamous society. Now, it's only been in the last 70 years where this whole idea of a explicit monogamous society has been destroyed. And we've seen the great consequences of this, those being incel, children at 40, marriage at 40 as well. These kind of aspects haven't led to the most profitable society. It's led to, I mean, look at somewhere like Japan, for example. They've got a declining birth rate. And I think you can definitely say that it's partially due to the fact that we've moved out of a monogamous society.
Let
okay.
Logic talk.
Shannon. Yeah. Let's hear from Logic on that, and then we'll come back to the women. Logic.
I hear myself.
We hear you fine.
No, I hear myself in my own ear very clearly. It's fading out.
Oh.
All right, maybe it's getting better. Fuck, it's really hard to talk, man, when I can hear myself in my own ear. Okay, I think it's better now.
Dave,
all right.
There you go.
About this whole monogamous society thing, I don't really have anything to say right now. But just going back to this thing about like the jobs, right? I'm a bit confused about what exactly the like proposed solution is. So. You were mentioning how women, like in certain jobs, women thrive, and in certain jobs, men thrive, and men tend to thrive in like the blue collar jobs where they can like shit talk and kind of get like, you know, kind of have their, you know, bro interactions kind of thing. But then you seem to also really be upset that women are in these more formal sort of I guess you said like self-censored or like controlled office type jobs, but they, mm-hmm. I mean, by that logic, they seem to kind of thrive in that kind of job. So what really is the problem with them being there and not being so much into the like blue collar work?
Well, I mean, they good definitely question. Do thrive, but at the cost of men.
So you're just pissed because I'm your boss? That's what you're mad about?
No.
Is that the way you're phrasing it?
I'm asking you. Is that what they're mad about? Is that what incels are mad about? You're pissed because I'm your boss?
What do you mean by it? They thrive at the cost of men. What does that mean? Can you clarify that?
Well, I mean, I think there were definitely, this is just a bit of an allegoric example, but there was a show, I think it was like some survival island kind of thing, where they chucked 10 men on an island, then 10 women on another island. And the men were certainly getting shelter set up where the women were still starving. I think that's just one example. And then the men came, he got started to get shelter set up and then was kicked off. I think
is this a reality TV show?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, well, it was, I think it was kind of like, I can't remember what it was, but this was just like it's a bad example, but this is just one kind of way that it is, I suppose. You know, men.
You don't think society. That they maybe cast those shows for stereotypical behaviors for the sake of
argument
drama
from Survivor.
So that people will watch?
You can look at other examples in society. I mean, how
it's not exactly
most of the group. Male painters in the most of the painters in the Renaissance were men. You know, most of the scientific minds of the last few thousand years have been men without fail. Most of the great political leaders have been men.
Okay, well, let's say that you have, like, say, nursing or daycare work or something like that, where women are, you know, this is sort of the stereotypical, like, women jobs, right? And you would say, I guess, that women thrive in those jobs, right? How is that not at the cost of men who want to go into those jobs and find it being, I guess, from your perspective, like a more feminized workspace? Because you seem to be complaining that office jobs are like that, but then it's okay that daycare jobs are like that?
Well, I mean, I think it's okay if there's, like, it's a female kind of explicit workplace, you know? I think if you know what you're getting into, you're going into that kind of environment, that it is going to be a very feminine kind of workplace. That's the thing, I suppose.
Well, then don't go into an office job, I guess, if you think that it's a feminized workplace. Go work in the go dig a ditch or something. I don't quite understand. This
ditches.
Is coming from a person who worked for a lot of years in an office job, and I just don't quite understand what problem you're seeing that I never saw.
Well, I think I'm looking at it from a perspective of, I guess I'm looking at it from a perspective of hearing from my mates behind kind of closed doors where you, in a kind of male-only environment, where it's definitely, you hear the issues of what was happening in the environment getting fully exposed, I suppose. When you see things where it's very kind of passive-aggressive bullying, for example, of men getting bullied passively aggressively by women.
How
could it be that men just don't like women?
So the issue, because in man kind of jobs, there tends to be non-passive aggressive bullying.
It's very kind of.
So is the distinction between like explicit bullying and passive aggressive bullying, or?
Well, I think that. And this is probably from my opinion, I suppose, with when men bully other men, you know, it's definitely, there may be an aspect of actual bullying in it, but, you know, you can always leave that as water under the bridge in a few weeks, one or two days. Whereas I think with women, you know, they have memories of a snake and it's very long with what they believe.
That is a bullshit generalization. That is a bullshit
generalization. I know it's a generalization.
I'm not quite getting it.
It seems like you want to kind of have it. I'm gonna try to calm down. I have to apologize again. I said you were gonna throw your toys out of the pram. I have to apologize again. I'm getting worked up because I am a woman, And I'm a woman who works in a...
You are?
No, I have a decent job. I am.
Get her off, Dave. Get her off.
I'm educated and I have a decent job and I try to be reasonable and balanced. But when I hear somebody tell me that I shouldn't be in my position, I should instead, and I'm also a mom, that I should be home so that I can make room for somebody else, somebody who may not be as good at the position as I am or as qualified or as educated or as capable, simply because I'm a woman, you can understand how that, if the tables were turned and somebody were saying the same things that you're saying to me, to you, you would not be okay with it.
Well, the tables you can't wouldn't. Be turned because...
You're essentially like, telling me that I need to make a space for you by getting, by going away everywhere you want to be. I want to be here, so you can't be here because I can't be here and say things about dicks while I'm working. Because you might, it might upset you, and I want to talk about dicks while I'm working. So, you know, if I want to be an asshole at work, that's your problem, not mine. And so I have to go home now. I have to go home and raise kids because you want to have this space to you. And me being there means that you can't have it the way you want to. And you can't deal with not having it the way you want to. And that means that you have to go on the internet and be an asshole. And that's my fault for wanting to do my job without having to listen to you be an asshole.
That's a good point.
I think you're getting a bit emotional about it.
No.
Can you understand why, though?
I'm a woman,
why?
So...
I want to say
not traditional values, I suppose. I mean,
Sal, real quick. I want to say based, I think I can speak for, the general consensus among men when I say that I have shockingly shared the workspace with women, and I have never felt like I can't be myself and talk about things that I want to, because I don't feel the need to. That's never.
Yeah, but Kyle, you're a gay feminized boy.
That's true. I said that.
You're basically a girl, Kyle.
You're basically a girl with a dick, really.
But listen, that means that I, because I'm gay, that means that I want to talk about dick. I guarantee you, I'll. Way more than the average stylist. I think that makes me an expert in this.
Accurate.
Okay, so back up logic. Back Fair. Up. But yeah, I don't know many guys that have felt that way. They felt like they can't talk about what they want to, or they have to act a different way. The way that I look at it is that most guys are decent people and don't have these desires to hide an aspect of their life. To be around other guys. I've just never seen it. I don't think that it's, I think it exists with a certain group of people and a certain number of people, and those certain people turn into incels or men that go their own way, that sort of thing. What would you say to that?
Well, I'm not really sure what I would say to that, I suppose. Not really, really sure. I mean, I guess what I don't know. Don't really have an answer.
All right. You were getting ready to say something there a second ago when I brought it up. You can go ahead and finish your point on that.
Nah, I'll be good.
Okay. Ladies, any more questions?
I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
Everybody good to go?
He wants to talk to
me. I would say that, like, with the... I mean, this all seems to come, like, it comes back to, like, the office environment and stuff. Like, I got the impression working in the office that it wasn't, like, it was... Like, it was sort of a self-censored environment, right? But it wasn't because there were women there. It was because it's, like, all business, and you're just there to sort of do your professional job and go home, right? And some people didn't feel that way. Like, some people would have their little friend groups and go out for drinks or whatever. But it was actually pretty rare that anyone was actually friends with anyone else, really. But it wasn't because you're scared that if you say something off, the women are going to bear down upon you. In fact, it was just the same with the guys. Like, it was like, you just don't want to talk about your personal life too much, was kind of the vibe, right? And this is where I'm sort of confused, is like, to me, this, I just don't see how this is a women-men issue, really. I don't know.
Well, I mean, second final statement. There is an issue of the dynamics between men and women and women, and men and men and women and women, I suppose. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you know, men are a little bit kind of less caring about what they say to each other in a kind of shitposty kind of, you know, talking shit environment, I suppose. And when you're talking with the women, you know, you don't, you know, you could go to HR in 5 seconds. But just, I actually need to go in 5 seconds, but I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for having me.
Oh, you got to go. I have somebody that wants to talk to you. I have an actual feminist that wants to come on and talk to you.
What time are we? I might be able to stay for a little bit longer. Okay.
Okay, we'll do. It won't be long. We'll make it quick. But she was in the live chat, and she's a good friend of ours, and she wanted to ask a couple questions of you. So, Brittany, I sent you the link. You can come in, and you can go back to what you were saying, Sal, until she pops in.
I mean, I guess fundamentally the issue I really do see here is that men's only environments are being shunned by women's spaces, I suppose. I mean, you have female-only gyms, we have the old kind of Me Too movement, and yeah, there definitely is some credence to both of these things. But, I mean, there's also things where it's very hard to have explicitly male-only spaces. And that's, and we don't, and another
open
thing,
one.
Going back to incels. Going back to
see
incels. Going back to incels, we really ought to have empathy for them, I suppose. I don't think some of the shit they post is despicable, but we do have to have empathy for them. When people call them out and say, oh, you're a horrible person, it's certainly not helping build them a higher kind of spine. You know, it's only kind of reinforcing the view that the whole world is against them.
Okay, so I'm supposed to have empathy for them. However, I've been told that I should just allow incels to rape me so that they can get fucked. So, like, I'm supposed to have empathy for them, but they can treat me however the fuck they want to. Because I'm a woman? Like, why should we put up with that kind of shit and then still be empathetic towards them?
Like I said, I think that kind of action is despicable. I mean, what more kind of doubling down do you expect me to do?
We addressed this earlier. To be fair, there are people that are legitimately looking for a space that just, like Panda, who was on here first, that just need support and to be lifted up. So I will agree with you there. Like, there are people that just need support and need to be lifted up. And they should be supported and lifted up. But conflating them with the people that now own this moniker, the people that now host in abundance. We just had a conversation about this, about raping and abusing women. Like, I don't believe and cutting them in half and posting gore posts. Those people shouldn't be defended. You should be allowed to point to them and criticize and say that's bad without having to worry that you're damaging the people that do need help. And we should not be vilified because we are pointing to those things. Those things are dangerous. Those things are bad. And those things are damaging. And we're not doing that because we want to hurt the people that need help. We're doing it because we want to save them from being and becoming like that because they're vulnerable. So what are you going to do to help those people so that they don't end up there? What is
right,
your
and kick the bad
to help those people so they don't end up with the bad ones? Do you have
yeah,
one
and kick the bad people out?
All right. All right. we'll take a breath. Let's say hello to Brittany. Brittany is one of my favorite
people. Hi, pretty.
She is. How are you doing, Brittany? What do you have? What do you have to say? I thought you wanted to. We can.
Yes. Wait, can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
I had my head in the bathtub. I was dyeing my hair, and I was like, bitches, I got to get on this, yo. Okay. I've only been listening for like 20 minutes, so I think. So I might have missed the prep station. I actually just have a question for everybody, and maybe that can lead us into a better conversation.
Sure.
Is there anything, okay, ready? Is there anything unethical with having companies that are women only or men only spaces?
No.
Can you say that again?
Is it ethical to have private businesses that run for men only and women only spaces, like a women only company or men only company? Could that be a viable reality, let's say within the world or the United States or the West, where it wouldn't be unethical, but it could still be a safe place for those gendered people?
Oh, well, it was implicitly like that 70 years ago. And it still is like that in a lot of kind of blue collar, fluoro collar workers, that's for sure.
But from my understanding, those companies exist out of a convoluted concept that women couldn't join those industries. But I'm talking about in the modern 2018 world, could we create a society where a women's only space was run by women for women, and it wasn't meant to be not inclusive so much as just an area where these kinds of brains could mesh together? Not that women brains are different than men brains, but it's more or less, I'm wondering if everyone gets upset because what's happening is the world economy has been run by men for men. And what we're asking for is a seat at the table. You've heard this phrase before, I'm sure, in politics. So I'm asking, if men aren't going to invite us into their big corporations, you must understand the retaliation will just be us competing against you when the goal should be competing with each other, for a better world. But if that can't be accomplished, maybe we can create a world where we could all have our own businesses without being completely unethical about it.
Well, if you want to start your own kind of colony in the Amazons, you know, no one's stopping you.
What is that?
Oh, so well, you want us in the Amazon? We can't be in the regular space competing with you. We have to be out in the middle of the fucking Amazon?
I think she's saying that what was, she's
do
saying.
Do you listen to yourself?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what she's saying. So,
No. So what I'm trying to say is we can have it both ways, unless we all agree that we can find a way to make it work cohesively. What I'm asking is for a suggestion that we haven't done that could work. Because as much as I appreciate the world that came before us, it no longer reflects the world that is. Women want a space at the table. I would like a space in my own corporate kind of entity, but I want it within the confines of the rules that are already in place, or in a world where we change the rules. I don't want men to feel threatened when going to work, but if your brain, and everyone has a unique brain, can't operate amongst women, then where can we put you that you won't be a threat to the forward progression and where you won't feel threatened by going to work?
I think the fundamental issue, look, if you're asking about kind of creating a space for women in a men's only world, I do think that there are rare cases where, yeah, women can compete with men. Rare cases, mind you. But I think the whole kind of, like, there's been a bill to try and get, like, the whole thing with quotas. I don't really think quotas is the way to go about it. That's the thing. Definitely
me
not.
Neither.
Because if you're trying to say, let's get 50-50 in the workforce, that kind of issue is fundamentally missing the fact that men go into different career paths and women go into different career paths, partially due to what men and women need, both physically, mentally, whatever. And yeah, that I don't think that really kind of forcing that on men is really the way to go. Yeah, there are rare cases where, you know, men can, you know, go into childcare, or where, you know, women can become, you know, who knows? But, you know, it's rare cases, mind
God
you.
God forbid and with the men take care system, of their children.
But
so,
I'm simply
if
saying
I may,
that, like,
yeah. And if I may, I did come late to the conversation. I just want to make sure the premise of my understanding is correct. We are talking about the modern world as we know it. We're not talking about a country that doesn't exist, right? We're trying. Okay, just making sure. If I may, So I try to treat everyone as an individual. So I don't do the whole like gendered men and women thing. I understand statistics. I understand biology. All of this stuff can still be true while taking into account the individual. So what I prefer to do, and let me know if this works within your brain frame, but what I would like to do is create a world where individuals are rewarded for their successes and they're not punished for group identity. But to get to that point, you have to first acknowledge that the rules were set up through group identity, i.e. white men, and then we need to then dismantle the group identity politics by acknowledging we are groups, and then getting to a point where the group identity is nothing more than a characteristic, which is fact and not necessarily a reflection of a person, but we're not there yet. We're not even close. So we're like at least a few hundred years off from it, honestly. So for me, this is just a blip in the map of history. This is just a little time like blip. Okay, cool. And we're just going to go down in history as that generation that was trying to sort of fix it. So I'm asking, in what ways can we fix it so we can get to a point where the world can be individualistic versus men versus women? Because that's not really rational. Rationality and efficiency demands objectivism, which also demands efficiency in terms of how we are productive. So for me, a productive society would be one where everyone is utilized to the best of their ability. And that means to the best of the individual's ability. What do you think?
Well, I think when you say, look, if you're trying to say everyone ought to be an individualist, I really don't think that that's going to be like works in the current year, you know, last like few thousand years, people have fundamentally been collectivists. You know, there is an aspect of individualism that you can kind of see. It's kind of individualism of the group. You have an individual group that does one thing or another, but you really can't have individualism of the individual.
Well, I'm curious on what, and I did miss the beginning of the conversation. What was, just to sum it up, what was your particular want out of the current society? Are you a MGTOW, men go their own way kind of individual, or are you more like women? Like, is that accurate, or is there a different word I can use to summarize your beliefs?
I'm a bit more of a traditionalist. I just used to be kind of a MGTOW, I suppose.
Okay, so you, and just correct me if I'm wrong, you would like a world where like women are more docile or subservient and men are handling the kind of everyday 9-to-5 working load of the man?
Well, I mean, I think, I'm not sure. Could you say that again so I can think about it?
Yeah. No, of course. Would you like to live in a world, and by traditional, do you mean where men are working the 9-to-5, getting the money, and women are more submissive or docile?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, perfect. So now that we're on the same page, if I may, do homosexuals exist in your world?
Well, homosexuals exist in every kind of world, but you know, but I mean, like 60, 70 years ago, they weren't as kind of out there. And it's not like I'm saying that they need to go trailing the streets and do like low key kind of things. No, but like it's a lot more kind of under the table. And that's probably what I would say the solution to it is, I suppose.
Okay, so I'm just curious, so I'm on the same page as you, when you're creating those homosexual relationships, like who would go to work and who would stay home?
Honestly, I don't really, I think this kind of argumentation is kind of like very picky, but honestly, I don't really think it matters if there's the 1% or less than 1% of the population, when you really should be focusing on the majority, I suppose.
Okay, then I'm on the same page as you. I just didn't want to not understand your argument or mischaracterize your argument. So I understand that. That makes complete sense to my brain. I get it. And correct me if I misspeak otherwise. Well, what I'm, I guess, suggesting to you is sort of and this is going to sound really condescending, but I don't mean it to you. This is the language I would use for my own self, a reality check. So as much as you would like that world, the majority of the United States, 51%, I think, is women, right? And women want to space at the table. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. You most certainly have rights as a single human, and you have rights to represent men as a group. And I encourage you to do that and be an advocate for yourself. I just would like to inform you that the new wave of women coming up, we aren't going to be docile anymore. So our generation, millennial generation, like, we're not having it. So you're going to have to dismantle a whole generation of women and they're birthing women who they're going to make independent as long as with their male partners. So I'm just, I want you to understand that I admire that you want to fight for men of your ideology, but it, you are the minority and your ideas are the minority.
You say that, but
you are the minority.
My generation in Gen Z actually is a lot more traditionalistic than material. It's a significant amount, but a lot more iconolistic as opposed to materialistic, like the millennials.
I'm sorry, did you say animalistic versus materialistic?
No. Yeah,
traditionalistic.
Like a lot
more
kind of Gen Z are traditionalistic, whereas a lot more of millennials, you know, you're born in the 90s, you're kind of lucky to have that, but you're a lot more kind of materialistic in, I guess, how you act, I suppose.
For the record, let me just say real quick, Brittany, for the record, for the right guy like Channing Tatum, I would not mind going under the table. So I'm fine with with that in certain situations.
Well, okay. Well, so, I hear he's on the market.
Yeah. What? Really?
That's so him and his girl broke up. I know. It killed me. 9 years. But you know what it is?
Yeah. Okay.
Did somebody else have something to say, I think?
Are we just going to go down the line, Kyle, before we end? Are we just going to go down the line again with one more thing?
Yeah. Well, I think he's got to
head out. Go.
We'll
okay.
do it really quickly. We'll do it really quickly. Just ask really quick questions. Logic, you're up again. Any final words that you want
to? I'm supposed to have something to say here.
Well, you can ask a question. Say, have a comment towards. We're getting ready to say goodbye to Sal. So, if you just had any final thoughts? If not, that's cool too.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. It seemed to kind of turn into like I don't know. It was definitely multiple on one. So I guess you know, good on you for coming in.
Oh, thanks.
I don't really have anything else like meaningful to say. So
it's just the Australian shitposting that it's got to me.
Okay. All right, Casey.
I just want you to know, Sal, I'm not going the fuck home. So you and your trad bullshit can get the fuck over it, okay? You all are just going to have to get over it because women aren't going home. We're not going home. We're not going to hide. We're not going to just raise kids and not have careers. And we're not going to go under the table. And neither are gay people. Neither are trans people. So get over it. I don't give a fuck what you think you are. You're not a legion. You're a bunch of sad people. We're not going anywhere. Get over it.
Is that what he said? We are legion. Really?
That's what he said. We're a legion.
A joke. Do you think that? Like, do you really think that you're
is
being
this the
edgy?
Guy that can't get laid who has to go and fuck himself every day?
Yeah, these are the people who have to fuck themselves.
Do you really think that you're being that edgy by thinking, oh, I'll just be, you know, go around and have 100 relationships and that won't affect me in any way? That kind of thing isn't that edgy. No, that is
100 relationships, really number one.
I don't
number
think
one,
anything
I'm
that
not trying
you're saying
to be edgy.
Is meant to be edgy, dude.
I'm not right. trying to be yeah. edgy, okay? I'm explaining to you that we aren't going home. We're in the workplace and we're not going home. So you're going to have to learn to deal with that. Also, I don't have 100 relationships. I am engaged to a person. An individual person I have a monogamous relationship with. I'm not in 100 relationships. I don't sleep with 100 people. But even if I did, that's still not your fucking business.
And also, I don't think people are going around right fucking 100 people just to be an edgelord.
Edgelord. That means something completely different in the gay circle, Logic, just so you know.
all right.
Oh, he knows. He knows.
Shannon, your final thoughts?
Okay. So I'll echo Logic's sentiments. You essentially flew into the lion's den. I appreciate that that's not easy when your opinions are so counter to the opinions that are being presented. I just followed you on Twitter. I'd be interested in having DM conversation with you at some point in time when emotions aren't as high as mine were today, because I don't take kindly to the sentiments that you had. And I could have conducted my conversation better than I did in the moment. So maybe we can have an ongoing dialogue that is better and more productive than the dialogue the two of us just had. But I will reinforce that I ardently disagree with you. We may never agree, but perhaps we can try to understand each other better in that fashion, because it's not going to happen today where you have to leave. So it's Shan with two N's underscore Q0. You would have seen me just follow you. If you would like to DM me, I welcome the opportunity to continue the conversation so that we don't have to leave it on this note and can perhaps understand each other's positions a little bit better than we had the opportunity to today.
And I'd like to reinforce that I'm not sorry for shit.
All right.
And Casey,
Brittany.
Still isn't.
I just want to say thanks for letting me jump on real fast, guys. Sal, I sure. Personally think your brain is interesting. And though I don't agree fundamentally with your ideas, I do teach people how to live consensually and ethically in alternative lifestyles, including polyamory. So if you ever want to know more from a first person perspective, let me know. But other than that, thanks for letting me jump on, guys.
Absolutely.
Nice to meet
and
you,
Sal. Thanks for coming on last minute. We'll say goodbye to Brittany and Sal. Thank you both for coming on, especially last minute. And
I can just X out. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Just click the X.
Okay. Bye, guys. So,
bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
So.
Bye, Brittany.
I figured we would kind of sum up the stream with just the four of us and kind of any last minute thoughts that we had over the course of the whole entire talk. I know it got progressively more passionate and emotional, but I'm kind of interested to know what your thoughts are compared to before this stream started. Like Logic, we were in a conversation, all of us together, and when this actually came to fruition, like when we were thinking about doing the show, what, based on what you've seen tonight, is your kind of feeling? Are you, do you feel more strongly in one way after tonight? The same? What are your takeaways?
Oh, I just came on for the lulls, man. and I think I got some. So, I honestly, like, you know, my sphere of YouTube, this is not it. I don't really care. These people are very unlikely to have any real impact aside from, there's a couple incels who went out and like killed people, but whatever. That's not most of them. I guess they're like a weird niche internet community that's posting a lot of weird shit, but whatever. Yeah. There's a lot of those. So it's not like my life is going to change as a result of this. The last guy was interesting. The whole like, get women out of the workplace, and what was that thing about the Amazon? I didn't even quite grasp what that was supposed to mean.
So Amazon name colonies. So yeah. Brittany was asking if it would be like ethical and possible for, if men need their own space, for women to establish, you know, similar companies, industries to men that are women only workspaces and compete with the men. And so his response was, sure, if you guys want to go build yourself a fucking commune out in the Amazon, which is still basically go away and get out of my world.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, I've worked with a lot of women and I never had any problems. I know that's anecdotal. I mean, obviously,
that's
but
because
I think
you're not an asshole.
I think his position is pretty anecdotal too. It's just this very strange mindset. It's like
niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, to me, like the people you're working with are kind of just people. Has been my impression.
That's 'cause
you're normal. But I guess somebody could just criticize me for saying, "Well, that's just your lived experience, man," and just go well, whatever.
Logic's a total normie.
I've never heard of these this like group of people like this until I started doing YouTube. Like a year ago, I would have never known that there was anything like an incel. I would have never known that people believe in flat earth, that people don't believe in viruses or dinosaur fossils. It's only on YouTube that this weird shit comes out and like
Twitter
spreads.
Twitter. Well, so the incels, here's the thing is The incels are becoming more aggressive, more bold. They're more out there than they ever have been, similar to flat earthers and stuff. I don't know what is making these people more bold and aggressive and out there with their fucking insane ideas. But like,
the decline in religion.
That's possible. It's possible. But like,
people need something to fill that hole.
Well, and literally, yeah, that's what they need.
Literally. Oh, yeah. So, okay. You got me there.
So anyway, like Logic was saying, yeah, it's not going to necessarily impact your day-to-day life. And I hate to put it this way, and I'm not like a third wave feminist kind of person, so but it's going to sound that way. It doesn't impact your life because you're a man. But it impacts people like me. It impacts people like Shannon.
What I was trying to say was, does it have a real world impact? Like, is it going to impact you at your job or something? Is kind of what I was
saying. It could. Well, so here's the thing. Yeah. There are people that I know in the YouTube community, women that have channels who have had to, in the real world, file police reports and get protection from men, these incel crazy fucks. And so, yeah, it can impact us in the real world, not necessarily all of them or most of them, but it does bleed into the real world. And the more emboldened they get, the worse it will get.
So when you talk about police reports, are you talking about stuff like doxing or stalking? Like, what are you talking about exactly?
Stalking, death threats, rape threats, all kinds of different things.
Yeah, like, I can see that coming out of some of these people for sure. So in that sense, yes, I was talking more about like broad scale cultural, like actually getting women out of the workplace is more what I.
Oh,
yeah. Mostly with reference to the last guy.
I don't mean that. I'm sorry. Oh,
I'm sorry. That's more what I meant. Yeah, obviously, when
page.
You have communities like that, you're going to have people who are. And this applies to more communities than just that, where you do have doxing, you do have people like fucking with each other's actual lives. Yes, that will happen. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Well, Shannon, we're gonna give you the last word. Then we're gonna read super chats and call it a night. That was a hell of a show. Something. I loved it, Shannon.
It was something. Thank you for having me. I think it was.
Well, you didn't sound like you really meant that. That sounded obligatory.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fascinating to watch the time progression almost too, because from Panda at the beginning, you know,
yeah,
I had an emotional progression through this stream as well, which is fascinating. So with Panda, I was entirely empathetic and understanding and thinking, yes, absolutely. These people, of course you need a space and you need to be able to commiserate and you need to be able to find some people who are your counterparts that you can find solidarity with. And then rolling into the incel takes, hearing about just the pure violent rage, and how dangerous it is. And then rolling from that into hearing somebody justifying why my existence in the world in a manner that I choose is the reason for that. That it's my fault because I mean, I'm one of those people that have that office job. So by that definition, by existing and choosing a vocation and working my ass off to be in that vocation, by doing that, doing all the things that I should be doing, I didn't get my job because it's supposed to be 50-50 where I work. I got my job because I am fucking good at what I do. And I am educated and I studied. And for a woman, yeah, obviously. And I worked hard. So by doing, yeah. For a girl. So like by hearing that means that me doing what I'm supposed to do, paying for it myself, working hard, going, getting an education and fighting for it and getting my way in there. That means that I caused that to happen.
Obviously.
Yes, Shannon. Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
you made it so that guys can't make as many dick jokes in office meetings. I don't know.
I know. Right?
How dare you?
Because
I don't think we would have been doing that regardless too much. Like most guys at work, even if it's like a meeting room full of guys, which I have been in many, many times, the guys aren't sitting there suddenly cracking dick jokes. Like I don't really grasp.
I mean, honestly, there would be a better chance. Yeah. There would be a better chance of dick jokes getting cracked in meetings if Shannon and I worked together.
Probably true.
That is true.
And going back to the actual incel thing, because that wasn't really part of the real incel thing. I don't know how we got off onto that fucking tangent. But like with the incel thing, if someone out there is an incel, like they identify as an incel, it seems to me, at least with the modern incarnation of it, like you're taking the idea of getting laid and making it like such an important thing. And it just makes no sense to me. It sounds like
Agreed.
What someone would think of what it is to get laid and what it is to have a relationship who's never had one. And if you just stopped, I heard somewhere like, stop putting the pussy on a pedestal, right? It was like in a movie. I think that was good advice. Yeah. You don't do that.
That is
because
good advice.
It's not going to help you. All it's going to do is reinforce that you're stuck in that position. And honestly, not getting laid is not that bad of a position. Don't be obsessed with getting laid, and you'll probably do better at getting laid.
Well, right. Very true. But here's the thing is they're never going to have a healthy relationship with the way that their thought process works. They're never going to have a healthy relationship with a woman. It's just not going to happen for them.
Right.
You know, if their average age is like 16 to 25.
Well, that's what I said, the way that their mindset is.
If that guy was right, which, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that is pretty anecdotal, and so I'm not completely clear on, you know, I'm not completely clear exactly how generally factual a lot of this stuff is, because it's coming from like word of mouth kind of thing. Like I'm hearing it all secondhand, right? Yeah. But like if the average age of these people is somewhere in that 16 to 25 range, it's entirely possible that they will eventually have a functioning relationship with someone when they get their head out of their ass and grow up a little bit.
Yeah,
right. And that's going to have to be able to get out of it.
They're jaded from high school. They're high school jaded.
Yeah, of course. If they're constantly being reinforced in that, that's really not going to help them.
Right, and they're men's only spaces where they take on each other's traits, and they're reinforcing this dangerous thought process and behavior. They're never going to have that, and it's just going
to have to ask yourself. Yeah, is that your goal? Is your goal to be able to find a mate? How's this working for you? Do we like you?
I don't know if you send all the women where you are not, then I don't know how you're supposed to have a woman. I don't know how you're supposed to meet a woman if you send them all away to the fucking Amazon.
Kill them and rape them.
Let's see what the viewers thought of tonight and one of my favorite
parts of the
show. Let's read the super chats, if you will, sir.
I'm terrified right now.
Okay, I don't know if Logic can hear me. So I'm pasting them in the Skype chat
for me. I can't hear them.
So
I'm going to go ahead and start with Kent Hovind CPA for $2. God is real and plays quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Thank you. Whatever, Kent.
Thank you.
can someone that I can actually hear repeat these maybe or something or.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. Somebody just said God. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle. Yeah,
I was going to say, what was it, Dave? God's, say that one more time, Dave. I don't have a book.
God is real and plays quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. God is real and plays quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah. Thank you for your donation.
$2. What is an incel? We already answered that.
Yes.
What is an incel was the second one. We've already answered that. All right.
$5. Was the pickup community transformed into incel or simply awoken? Always bad.
Was the pickup community transferred into an incel or did they just awaken? I guess that's trying to say they're woke, right?
Right.
I'm still not sure what woke means.
That's a whole nother show, Kyle.
I never know.
Okay.
Oflamo,
thank you for that question.
Oflamo, for $10, what is to stop incels from cutting a deal like POTUS and Stormy Daniels?
What is to stop incels from cutting a deal like Stormy Daniels? That was funny. That was good. All right.
Sweet heathen, thank you for calling more attention to this. The lack of awareness has been so frustrating.
Sweet heathen says, thank you for bringing awareness to this. You are very welcome.
The lack of awareness has been so frustrating. I'm actually, I am understanding how this is working now. I'm at the same point in the Skype chat here, so I can see what's being posted. Thank you for calling more attention to this. The lack of awareness has been so frustrating. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, this is what I was trying to say, because I know I kind of sounded like dismissive or something when I said it's not going to have much impact, but I was kind of trying to say the same thing Kyle was saying, where it's like the impact that it has, at least at this point, is generally constrained to these online communities and stuff. Like, yes, there's people who have, you know, if there's people being doxxed and harassed and whatever so badly that they have to go to the cops, these are people who are interacting with online communities online, right? Like, but offline, right, in the real world, like in the political world, in the general culture of the society, I just don't see this going that far. Maybe in a couple of years I'll be proven completely wrong and we'll suddenly see like the incel party trying to get voted in.
No, a lot of people don't know about them. That's the thing though, that the people who don't follow closely YouTube a lot, I've had to explain what an incel was all the time. Like when people see that when I put the thing up for this show, I don't know how many messages about what's an incel, what's an incel, what's an incel. And so it's a two-edged sword. Explain to them what an incel is. No, it spreads what they are, you know, to the masses. But for right now, they're relatively kind of boxed in this really dark corner of the internet. And by the way, Logic, you reading that comment is going to make the person who left it stay, because she absolutely loves you. She was talking about that in the live chat, so it was cool that you read that.
Oh, cool.
Well, so and here's the flip side of that, though. Even if it was only in the online spaces, like, I mean, you heard his response. Like, if women are being harassed by incels, we should just mute or go away. Like, we should just turn our phone off. Turn your phone off. Yeah. So his... Even in the online communities, I say him because I assume that there are others that feel this way, but he's the one that said it. He thinks that women should just leave the online space. So it still impacts us because, like, we fucking like the online space. Like, I like going on Twitter and interacting with Shannon and interacting with you and with Ethan and with everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, I like doing that. I shouldn't be chased off of it because of people who can't get laid. Or it seems frankly, it seems like they say they can't get laid, but it seems a little voluntary to me.
It is.
Oh, it
it's
does.
Totally
it
voluntary.
Does.
It's totally voluntary.
And like, it's very different. There's a big difference between getting annoyed at insults and shit like that, and once you're actually in the position where you are getting, like, someone's hunting for your information, someone's sending threats to your family, right? So if that shit is happening, turning off your phone at that point is not going to make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the dumb comment on his behalf. I don't know why he said that. All right,
yeah, because he's an idiot.
That's true.
All right, so then we have Mr. Cook Jr. says our society is feminized, in quotes, garbage rhetoric and crap paint. I've been in the Army for 18 years, so I guess that would make you a sissy in my eyes. Fair point there.
Well, that's a fair point.
Yeah, Puffle Up Against 360, $2. Wait, men won too? Wars all by themselves?
Oh, I don't know.
Another fair point.
Yeah.
Another fair point.
Was that the Wars one?
Yeah, that was
yes.
The Wars one.
Yeah. Men won two world wars, and therefore what? Didn't men also start the wars? I don't know.
And also, aren't women actually weird.
Women were building planes. Women were building planes. Women were building guns. Women were making bullets. Women were doing everything.
Yeah. I don't think that most people question whether or not, you know what I'm saying? This isn't a normal thought process, I don't think. For the most part, I don't think normal men have these thoughts throughout the day. Like, women didn't help men in this war. It's just so bizarre to me. I don't understand
women
it.
Women weren't allowed to serve.
Right.
Yeah, back in my day, it was all just men fighting in wars with each other, and the women were staying home. Yeah, who thinks like that? I guess some people.
Right.
Do.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's so bizarre.
Well, and you know who put us on the moon? Just women. You know who did that? Black
we didn't
women.
We didn't go to the moon.
That's who did that.
We didn't go to the moon.
Black women.
That was a lot of people. But that's the thing. That was a collaborative effort. There was tons of different people of all walks of life working fucking hard a lot in their feminized office spaces.
In their feminized, yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, the women, men were really
not
uncomfortable with women being in the office spaces at that time. So, like, that was very uncomfortable for men, women being in their spaces. And a lot of times they had segregated.
I don't know how we went to the moon without the dick jokes. Like, they must have been so
pussy put us on the moon. Pussy put us on the moon.
Like, those women must have been so cool. They must have been like, your dick jokes are awesome. Let's do math. Yeah.
Voyager spacecraft must have been all men working on it because they put a naked man and woman. They had, like, the boobs. They had the dick on that disc that they sent with Voyager.
That's that funny,
100%. And it was definitely better than the moon program.
Have you seen that dick? A woman didn't draw that. That's not an after.
Yeah, women three times.
All right, Dave.
That's not a real estate.
Right. For $5.
We got to get through these super chats real quick. Go ahead, Dave.
So for $5 from Nicholas Brand, he's complaining that women are shutting men out, but his solution is to shut out women instead? That means his problem is women, not the shutting out. Thank you.
Ah.
Yes, his problem is women.
Genius.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Steve Bauman for $4.99. I'm virtually bitch slapping that wanker since I can't do it in person. Time to move out of your mom's basement, bro.
Steve,
that's funny. Thank you, Steven.
Without a crystal ball, $10. Shannon Q, Casey, and Kyle are the best women I know.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well played. I am proud to be named amongst the other two women. Any day. Any day.
See, now we're pushing logic out of this women's space.
We're logic. We're
logic, we love
you.
Good.
I feel
so. Love you too, Logic.
GE says he loves you.
Oh,
slighted. Mm. All right, Dave.
Loidy for 200 yen says changing the background to dumpster fryer is good. You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. That was
dumpster
Dave's idea.
Fryer was good.
That was Dave's idea.
Because that's where it went. Nick Kennedy for $10. Fuck this guy. Everyone deserves a voice. Not everyone deserves to be heard. Ooh.
Very true. Nice.
Very true. Steve Bauman for $4.99. Dude, go cry in your pillow, you wanker. Does your mom know you're a tool?
Steve is on it today.
Brutal.
Steve is on
Steve.
It. Right? He is savage as fuck.
Steve was taking no shit in Super Chat land today. Holy fuck. All right.
I like two it. More. We got two more, guys.
Two
Brown
more.
Coat,
two more.
Brown Coat J for $10. On behalf of all Australian males, I'd like to point out the rest of us aren't like that idiot.
No, we know. We know. Another
another $5 for Brown Coat G. He wouldn't even last 5 minutes in his fantasy of traditional male workplace anyway. Too much of a crybaby.
That's true. And I have one more comment to read. Thank you, Andrew Kroll, for saying that Kyle is more man than any guest and more women than they'll get. Oh, thank you.
Kyle is the unicorn. Kyle is the whole package.
Oh man. Okay, well I want to thank everyone here for coming in. I know that it's getting late, and I know that Shannon and KC have ironing and lunches to make for their men tomorrow, so we don't want to keep them. I want you guys to expressly thank your men for letting you come on the stream. It was very nice
thank
of
you,
them.
Honey. Yeah.
I'll make sure to thank you, Zed.
You're welcome.
For letting me come on the stream.
I'm not going to make you anybody.
Yeah.
Thank myself.
But yeah, this was. I knew it was going to be good, but this was even better than I could have imagined. I think the conversations were good. The questions were great. The passion was great. So I don't know that I would categorize this as an dumpster fire. I think this was a really beneficial stream for everybody. You know, you learn something, and then I think it casts a contrast between two different ideologies, which one sounds sane and which ones just sound ludicrous. So I want to thank everybody here for being a part of that, as always. And we will see you guys tomorrow back here at 8 for something. What do we have going on tomorrow? Shannon, what do we have going on tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I was stalling. Nick Thompson from Fully Deconverted will be with us to tell us about his story. Yeah, it's going to be really good. So without further ado, we will see you guys tomorrow. And thanks again, guys. And thank you for Brittany Simon and Inquisitor for coming on last minute, Panda for coming on last minute, and Sal. We appreciate it, even though we might not agree with your ideologies. So for ideology.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.
Perfect.
Non sequitur. Your facts are uncoordinated.